Thanks for joining us for today's message. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And we would love to hear how God's using this ministry to impact your life. So let us know by sending a message to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
And I've simply entitled today's message, God is My Source. And I want to talk to you today about tithing. I want to talk to you about how it affects the New Testament believer, what it is, what it looks like, and what the Bible has to say about it. I also want to kind of talk about some preconceived ideas that you may have, I know I have had, about this subject. And at the end, I want to give you a challenge to participate in a 10-week tithe test, where you set aside 10% of all that God has brought into your life financially and put it off to the side and bring it into God's house, okay? And so that is what we're going to get into today. I'm going to start with some scripture and Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 6 says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." I want to pause right there, right off the bat. I want you to say this out loud about God. Say, He does not change. This is a very important foundation to begin with. That in everything we're about to read, this is how He begins the context. And He says, I'm God, I don't change. So you're going to see this over and over. I want you to see this because this is very, very important that you understand this idea. I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, them responding back to God, in what way shall we return? Hold that word ordinances in your mind for just a second, okay? Because I'm going to explain what that is because it's a very important detail. But pay attention to the conversation. God is saying, from the days of your fathers, you went away from me. You left some things. This passage of scripture is a God message to call you to return to these ordinances. They said, what ways shall we return? And He spells this out. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. So God says, I need you to come back to me because you've been robbing me. How many think it's a bad idea to steal from God? That's a really bad idea. And so He says, you have robbed me, but I say to you, but you say, in what ways have we robbed you? And God responds and says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. So He says, this is a really important fundamental that you get down. I'm going to use a couple sports analogies because I just think you can benefit from this. When I was in high school, I liked basketball, but I didn't play until my senior year. I went out for the team and I made the team. And things started off really well for me. I was the first man off the bench, which I thought was awesome as a senior, having never played before. And as the season went on, the sixth man is the first guy typically sitting next to the coach on the bench. He's the closest. And I think the reason for that is when the coach gets frustrated, he can grab that kid and push him into the game. Like that's how my coach did it. He just get in there and get Smith out. Get in there and get Moyer out. Like it was just like that's how it went, right? And so I was started out as the sixth man. And as the season went on, my seat moved further and further away from the coach. Our high school basketball team was really good. We weren't very tall. We were run and gun. Seven times my senior year, we put up over 100 points in four 8-minute quarters, which is actually really phenomenal. We were at a game. I say that to you for this reason. We were at a game, and everyone on the entire team had scored except me. And so the coach said, I want everybody on the team scoring in this game. So they put me in, and here was the number. My number, every time, no matter what, pass Josh the ball. Josh gets the ball. Josh gets the ball. Josh got the ball. Josh missed. You're going to see a pattern forming here, okay? Kept on missing. The coach got so frustrated. He said, Josh, don't even get back on defense. Just stay under the bucket and cherry pick. Just stay right there. Don't even go back. We'll do 4-on-5 and they'll hurl the ball to you back on so nobody's even guarding you. You just make a layup and then everyone scores. And so they did that. And I'm standing right there. It's just me in the bucket. They get the rebound. They throw the ball to me. I brick the layup and miss it. I was the only kid that day that didn't score. I was pretty embarrassed. right? And so afterward, we're in the locker room, and the coach says to me, he said, Josh, sometimes in life, the ball doesn't bounce right. Keep on shooting. Just keep on shooting. Just keep on shooting. See, the heart and attitude of who God's talking to in this passage, some things weren't working right. They got away from some fundamentals. And he says, hey, return back to me. So in this message, I'm going to be very direct. If you know you haven't kept and put God first in this area of tithing, don't do drama. Don't get down on yourself. Just make an adjustment. Just keep on shooting. Get back in the game. Just keep on going forward. Several years later, I saw Coach Miller out and about in our community. And he looked at me, and we finished our conversation, and he was walking away. He was far enough away where he had to kind of raise his voice, and he went like this. He shot a basket, like a fake basket. He said, hey, Josh, keep on shooting. It was the encouragement I needed. Why did I tell you that? That word ordinances that I asked you to hold in your mind, that word means the primary principles that we ordinarily follow in life. In other words, he's saying, you left me in the fundamentals, but come back. Let me use another picture to make this point. Every year at the beginning of the football season, great coach Vince Lombardi would start his professional team off with this picture. And he would go to them and meet with them. These pro guys are the best of the best in the entire world at their sport. And he said, hey guys, I know we have high hopes for this season. We need to start at the beginning. And he'd take a football and he'd say, we're going to start with the fundamentals. And here's how we start. This is a football. This is a football. Something that might seem a little condescending to a guy or gal's intellect, but to say, hey, this is the beginning. And I'm saying that to you for this reason. What we're going to talk about today is the fundamentals of the Christian life, of putting our faith in Christ. This tithing thing isn't supposed to be about pressure or condemnation or fear. It is the foundation of faith that we build our life on as believers to do it the way God designs it. He said, hey, you've robbed me. You've robbed me in this area of the tithe. He goes on and he says this, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, this is important. Because the word curse there really is about a consequence. How many of you know all of our actions have consequences? Right. I'm going to give you some objections that I've gotten over the years, and I've even had this objection. Years ago, 2011, my mom passed away, and I went on this spiritual journey of exploring, do I really believe the things that I say I believe? Or are some of these things secondhand beliefs that I just believe because mom said I'm supposed to? And this tithing thing was one of them. And one of the questions that I started pursuing in my mind was, do I even want to do this? Is this even something, spoiler alert, I do, I kept the principle. But I asked the question, this is Old Testament. Does this really matter? And this is a big conversation that people have in church. Like, Josh, this is Old Testament. It's not for us in the New Testament. And I thought through some of that. And what we need to understand is this, that God is not putting a curse on us when we don't function in this tithing principle. What really occurs is we bring consequences upon ourselves for not following the biblical pattern of what's best for humanity. And in the Old Testament, that all these rules, like the idea of Josh, just throw out the Old Testament. It doesn't matter. This is Old Testament. Forget it. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Murder is in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not murder is in the Old Testament. How many think that's still something we ought to abide by? Don't murder people. I'm really disturbed that only like a third of you agree with that statement. So that's really scary. Just so we start at the fundamentals, thou shalt not murder is still a good ordinance for humanity, right? Yeah, thank you. So is thou shalt not commit adultery. Someone says, oh, that's, you know, when they say the Old Testament, I'm coming at that objection saying, oh, you know what, Ange? Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's Old Testament. I'm going to have a bunch of sexual partners. Think she's going to be okay with that? Once again, not a trick question. Like, that still stands, right? That still stands, right? Thou shalt not lie. That's Old Testament. Just tell everybody whatever you want them to know. Steve, do you have a wallet? Can I see it? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. You can have a seat. Thou shalt not steal. That's Old Testament. Thanks, Steve. Consequences, though, if I do that, right?
Right.
Consequences.
Right.
God doesn't curse you. You bring consequences on yourself when you live outside of those guidelines. I'm going to give this back to you, Steve. I appreciate it. I don't want to open it. Thank you. I don't want to keep it. I want to just make that one point. Don't discount this idea because it's in the Old Testament. Now make that point clear. I think I did. Let's keep on moving here because I want to get to some things. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my storehouse. That's God's house. And try me now in this. Several translations say test me in this. We're going to look at one here in just a minute. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Watch this. Says the one who never changes. Do this. Bring it in. Test me in this. This tenth or this tithe, this one out of ten, is an incredible principle. And one of the things that's so incredible about it is the same equal sacrifice for every person. Whether you make $10,000 or whether you make $10 million, it's one penny off of every dime. It is God's plan for equal sacrifice amongst his people. It's absolutely the same for all of us. And it's an incredible, incredible principle. He says, I don't change. And watch what happens. If you'll do this, watch and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I want you to see the first point, which is this. Tithing is biblical. It's a biblical principle for us. This one tenth. It's God's plan. You need to know this. Now listen, I would never teach this subject to you if, number one, I didn't live it. And I would never teach this subject to you, number two, if there was anything attached to it. I will never teach a message to this church based out of this church's need. Because as soon as that happens, then pressure is transferred, and stress is transferred, and need is transferred. I can say it to you as plainly as this. There's no financial struggle that this message is trying to offset in our church family. We're good. This is not about our church. This is about people's lives and putting this principle in practice. And it's biblical. Now, I want you to see this verse of scripture. Some people say, well, Josh, tithing was under the law, and we're redeemed from the law as New Testament believers. I want you to see a very important point about how this transforms us. In Genesis chapter 14, this is not a small detail. This matters. You need to know this. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, Melchizedek is a type or a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. That's a picture of communion for us, the redemption story. And he was the priest of God. He was the representative to the people of God for God at that time. That's who Melchizedek was. And enter in another person, Abram. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth or the tithe of all. Here's what I want you to see. This event, for the person who's thinking in their mind, the tithe is an Old Testament, under the law obligation. I want you to see that this institution of the tithe, this idea that God has, actually precedes the law. It wasn't imposed to us under the law. It was given to us as a grace gift before the law even occurred, because this passage happens 500 years before that law was given. The tithe is not about Old Testament law. It's actually a forerunner of New Testament grace. And I believe the training wheels for New Testament giving is to say 1 out of 10 belongs to God. It's biblical. It happens before the law. Let me ask a question. How many of you would say, if Jesus said, I should tithe, then you would consider that you should be a tither? Six of us. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. If Jesus says it, we ought to do it. We ought to do that. Watch this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Pause. Jesus, confronting some religious leaders, says, look, guys, you've tithed off the very seasoning that you put on your steak. You've tithed down to every single thing you've ever received, but you've neglected some more important matters, and those important matters are justice and mercy and faith. He said, you gave the tithe, but you weren't doing justice, mercy, and faith. You got it all wrong. You got something going on. Someone says, well, Josh, that kind of upends your argument. It doesn't sound like Jesus is saying that we should be tithers, but you have to keep on reading the verse. Watch this. He says, these, the paying of the tithe, you ought to have done without leaving the other things undone. Someone says, no, Josh, you got the grammar wrong. He's talking about the justice and mercy and faith are the things that you ought to have done. Okay, fine. When you finish that sentence, he covers both sides. He says, without leaving the other undone. So here's what I want you to say. He says, the tithe and the justice and the law and the mercy and the faith, those things, I can say it to you this way. This is not an either or proposition. It's both and. Don't forget about justice and faith and mercy. And don't forget about the tenth that goes to God. This is Jesus saying it. This is Jesus saying, this is what you got to engage in. Look at this next verse. Hebrews 7 verse 8 says this. This is way into the New Testament. For someone who wants to make the argument that this isn't discussed in the New Testament. It's way into the New Testament. And here's what it says in Hebrews 7, 8. Here on earth, mortal men, human beings receive tithes. But watch this. But there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. I want you to see something very, very important. That when I bring my tithe, I don't bring it to a person. I don't bring it to a church. I don't bring it to hands that are human in nature. This verse says, when I bring the tithe, Jesus himself receives it and takes it personally, that I put him first in this area of my finances. Man, I don't know about you, but that motivates me to put him first in this area of my life. The second point that I want to make to you is, not only is it biblical, we could spend all kinds of time building that point. Second, tithing is a two-way test. It's a test. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you're going to see a pattern, and I'm going to ask you to answer back out loud to me, all right? And so when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, before they were in the wilderness, they were in Egypt, and before they were able to leave Egypt, God sent plagues or tests to Pharaoh. Does anybody remember how many tests God sent to Egypt for Pharaoh to overcome? For how many?
Ten.
He sent 10. There were 10 tests. So everything I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask you to answer back. Jacob in the Old Testament had his wages changed 10 times. All right? You're going to see a pattern here, okay? So now you can answer me back. Daniel was tested how many days? 10. How many virgins were tested in the New Testament? How many days of testing is there in the book of Revelation? Do you see? 10. How many disciples were there? No, 12. You all got to get, you got to catch up. There were 12. I said that for this purpose. 10 is a number of testing. So I think it's so interesting that he uses the 10th on this. It's a test thing. Watch this. What is it a test of? He says this, I am the Lord, all powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. Tithing is a two-way test. Not only is it a test of God toward you, but it is also a test of you towards God, to test him to see if he's going to do exactly what he promised he would do. This is a heart issue for us to say, God, can I trust you? God, I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to test you, God, in this. I'm going to give this increase to you, and I am going to test you to see if you're going to do what you promised you would do. May I say this to you? If we put him to the test and he doesn't come through for us, he's a liar, and we should forget this part of what he said. Just forget it. I don't even bother with it, but I'm going to tell you this right now, that God is someone who has proven himself faithful to me over and over and over again, and I can trust him with all of me, including this area, including this area. It's a test. Let me look at this verse of scripture with you in Luke chapter 12, verse 34. He says this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a heart test. It's a heart test. Now, sometimes people will say this, well, Josh, you know, I volunteer and that's worth so much money, and so I count that as my tithe, and that kind of offsets what I actually put in the plate. And I want you to understand this, that God outlines three things directly in different ways. He outlines your time, your talent, and your treasure. And it doesn't say that where your time is, your heart will be. It doesn't say where your talent is, your heart will be. He says there's a direct link to your substance. There's a direct link with what you have as resources and your heart. In other words, your heart follows your resources. And this has to be given as a test of ourselves to him. Let me ask you a question. Be interactive with me for just a minute. I'm not keeping note. It's just for you to just to have fun for just a second. How many of you get paid, just with the uplifted hand, how many get paid once a week? How many get paid twice a week? Or twice a month? Twice a month or every other week? Okay, yeah. Twice a week would be great, wouldn't it? Rewind. How many of you are paid every other week or twice a month? That's the question I'm trying to ask, okay? How many get paid once a month? All right, every time we get paid, we are taking a test. And here is the test. Will I be thankful to the one who put this resource in my hand? That is the test that we are taking in the tithe every time we get paid. And I want to demonstrate it to you this way. My son Jake is here today, and I want to do a little bit of a test. So he and his girlfriend, I want to clarify, last weekend I called his girlfriend his wife, and that was extremely embarrassing for me. I was total error. I apologize to them in public. But so he and his girlfriend are going to a basketball game today. Watch this. Let's say I want to say, hey, Jake, here's $20. Somebody's like, what you waiting on, bro? You just sitting there. Here's $20.
I don't even know with you sometimes.
He says, I don't even know with you sometimes. Here's the deal. I want you and Lauren to, you know, go get some lunch, split a happy meal or something with $20. I don't know what you can get for $20, right? Here's what I want you to do. That's yours, but I want you to bring me back $2. Is that a good deal? How do you think that's a good deal?
Yeah.
That's the deal God made with you, ladies and gentlemen. That is the exact deal that God made with you. He puts these things in your hand and he says, hey, bring 10% back. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I'm checking on for your heart. Listen, if he comes back and says, hey, Dad, I'm over budget. Actually, you owe me $5 more. We're not going to play that game anymore. Right? This is a heart test. Like, my thinking, just human being to my son Jake, he ought to be really thankful for that $20, and the $2 should be no big deal, should be no challenge to him whatsoever, should just like be a minimum bar that we jump over. Here is the problem. When you do not recognize God as your source, you think everything in your hand is yours and created by your own intellect and your own work and your own mindset, and it's a heart issue that God is checking. He's saying, no, you didn't put this in your hand, I did. Yeah. Do it my way if you want to keep the blessing flowing. Right. So it's a heart thing. Third, and I'm gonna finish with this. I'm out of time. So tithing is biblical. Tithing is a test, but there's something that I need you to understand about this. Tithing is a blessing. It's a blessing to you, and it's a blessing to those around you. I want to read a passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 4. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priest and the Levites that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Just pause for just a second. Here's what he's talking about. He's saying, hey, you've left some things. You need to return to some things in the tithes and in the offerings, and here's what it's going to go toward. It's going to go toward the people being able to make a difference in the world around them. I just want to say this because I want to put it out there. I want to be very, very clear for you as a part of our church that a portion of our tithes go to staff members for salaries. And I want to say something about that. I think that that's an absolutely incredible, noble initiative for us as a church. Because of our generosity, there are multiple households who have job and who are making a difference financially and other ways in our community because we are being generous and doing it God's way. I think that's absolutely incredible. And I want to tell you what one of my uphill invitations is. Long term, before I die, I want this church or an organization that was birthed out of this church to be the largest employer of non-profit entity in all of Licking County. That's what I want us to do. Listen, because that's not a small matter to supply jobs to an economy. And how does that work? God says, hey, let me just say it to you this way. If we were to just take the lid off of this thing and get our hearts to move in this full on, we would be shocked at what God does in our midst. I want you to see this verse one more time in a different translation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse here or a house wherever your home is, that there may be food in my house. And try me or test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room to receive it. He says, when you do this, blessings after blessings open up upon you and your family and your region and your community. I want to paint a picture for you as I close. I've grown up in this area my whole life. It's where I've lived all but about 20 or so months of my life. And I've watched them with great curiosity, the Newark Revitalization Project downtown and beyond. And I know some people who are involved in the planning and the making of that happen. It's actually been absolutely incredible to watch and observe, to see some things from the center of our town out transformed from buildings to roads. This is really cool. I just really love that. And I was thinking about that. And I was driving downtown Newark, and I got a picture in my mind's eye. And here was the picture. What if Newark didn't just have a downtown revitalization of buildings and roads? But what if Newark and Licking County had a spiritual revitalization of the hearts and lives of people from the inside out. What if God began to pour out on us blessing after blessing, and he raised the floor of the spiritual climate? I'm going to tell you something, that money and money alone through programs and taxes and systems, I don't care if you think this is controversial or not, I'm just going to tell you from firsthand experience of many, many years, money thrown at a problem doesn't solve a problem all by itself. And the thing that is missing is the spiritual element in this community, the hard work, the foundation of faith that people have been sowing into for year after year after year. I'm going to tell you that the problem of addiction is not solved with money and programs alone. I'm not against that, but what I am for is some people who are spiritual, speaking life into the hurting and into the broken and to the downtrodden, and say, listen, you don't have to be stuck there. God can bring you up out of this spiritually. Listen, like the blessing of God in this area, it's a heart issue. This comes first. Listen to me very carefully, please. If Jesus, the one who died for you and was raised from the dead for you, he gave his all for you, loved you enough to do that, he gave you everything, and we're going to withhold this from him and expect to get all the best that he has to provide, I'm sorry to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's just flat not how it works.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
That's good.
People who are, if you're struggling in your finances, my heart is for you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not judging you. But here's what I've had as an experience of over 15 years working with people. People who are tithers and people who are not tithers. I just want to say it for the person who needs to hear it again. I don't understand the argumentative attitude on this subject. I don't get the spirit behind that. I don't. And I want to say this for whoever needs it. Whatever you do or don't give, this church is going to be fine, because this church is God's idea. Someone says, well, that's awful arrogant. No.
Right.
No. Well, what if I don't do anything? Okay. This isn't about what you can do for an individual. This is about our individual heart motives, making decisions that I'm not going to let my treasure get in the way of my heart. I'm going to give in this direction, and I'm going to see God do his thing in my life and raise the floor back to that revitalization. If we can take this step, I believe that the blessing of spiritual revitalization is just on the horizon for our community, and it's in conjunction with our heart. It's in conjunction with this challenge. So here's the challenge that you're going to say. I want you to say this today. I want you to make a decision. This is an uphill invitation. This is an uphill invitation. Okay? Here's the challenge for 10 weeks. I'm going to ask you to do this for 10 weeks. I'm going to ask you for 10 weeks to recognize God as your source by bringing 10% of your income into God's house for 10 weeks. Between now and the first Sunday in May, I'm going to ask you to take that challenge. I'm going to ask you to realize that where your treasure is, not where your time is, not where your talent is, but where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And third, I'm going to ask you to record in what I'm calling a tithe test journal, which we're going to give you to every single person. I want every single person to take one. Whether you're doing the test or not, I want you to have it. On your way out, right in that vestibule area, there will be tithe test journals. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you take me up on this challenge, this is an uphill invitation. I get it. It's a big uphill invitation. But back to the conversation with tithers, non-tithers. Here's the way those conversations always go. The non-tither says this, Josh, you don't understand. I just can't afford to tithe. It's what every non-tither says. Josh, I can't afford to do that. And every tither says, I can't afford not to. I have story after story. People coming to me. I have story. And that's all they say. Josh, I can't. You don't have all the time that's necessary for me to tell you what God has done in my life. You don't have, like, they'll just tell me, Josh, he's just done. He's done exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. I can't afford not to do this. This is a faith step opportunity for you to say, God, you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to take care of me. And I believe that you will do more in 90% that's blessed than 100% that isn't under your covering. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. For 10 weeks, record in this journal what you've observed. What you've observed and what you've experienced as God has proved himself faithful to you. Write it down. Write down what God has done. Take the test, 10 weeks. Be a tither for 10 weeks. Accept this challenge. It's an uphill challenge. It's a big uphill challenge. I know it is. It's a massive challenge, but you're up for it. And over those 10 weeks, when you take that challenge, if at the end of that 10 weeks, you've written nothing in that journal, don't ever do it again. Don't ever tithe again. Don't ever listen to anybody who says it's in Scripture. If you can honestly say during those 10 weeks, you didn't see God show up in your world financially and otherwise in a way that is miraculous and supernatural, never do it again. Forget it. If that's what you want to do, then just forget it. I believe God will be in that gap. He will make up the difference. I've seen him do it in my life over and over and over and over again, that my life and Angie's life has been changed by this principle. Our finances have never had anything to do with my job, my vocation, my income, or her income. It's always been based on we put God first, and he opens up the windows of heaven for the person who puts him first in this area of their life. It's my challenge to you today. And then tonight, I get on a jet plane and I leave. Let me read this to you one more time. I leave, but in the words of the great theologian Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. I am the Lord all-powerful, God says, and I challenge you. I kind of really put myself in that place, and really it's a God-sized challenge to all of us. I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. This is God's word to you. It's God's word to me. Put him to the test. Take the challenge. Watch him do the miraculous in your life.
Thanks again for joining us today. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel or share this message with someone you think could use it. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give or through our app. Have a blessed day.